Well, let us turn to Psalm 95. In the book of Psalms, there are all sorts of songs. Songs for our confession of sins, songs of comfort, songs of mourning, as well as songs of worship. Psalm 95 is a song of worship. By the way, in the newsletter, there's also a little sermon outline which may be helpful. I'm going to read to you from the New King James Version, Psalm 95, verses 1 to 2. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. This morning, God be willing, next week as well, perhaps, I want to consider with you the subject of public worship. It's worship, but not private worship, not your devotion, not your quiet time, but public worship. A senior minister of our church told me of this true story. Many years ago, the son-in-law of Francis Schaeffer, Oz Guinness, an American theologian, was in Australia speaking to a group of ministers and students. And he talked about the missing dimension in church life. That is the vertical dimension in church life. He was talking about worship. He lamented that we have lost in the modern church that glory, that reverential, that serious and joyful and solemn worship. Some of our younger ministers were there and they mocked and contradicted this American theologian. And my dear friend was grieved by the impoliteness, rudeness, and lack of understanding of worship among our younger men. We live in a time when the public worship of God is demeaned and disgraced and denigrated even by many, many Christians. And that is simply a fact. By the way, Francis Schaeffer's own son eventually left the Evangelical Church and joined the Greek Orthodox Church because he complained that in the Evangelical Church there is no serious worship, no vertical dimension in church life. Now this morning I have one thing to say, one burden. It is that public worship should be the first priority in our lives. And of course, I will divide my one point into a couple of points as well. So, well, you may say this is a one-point sermon or a three-point sermon, however you may like to take it. Look at verse 1 here in Psalm 95. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. My dear friends, this morning, if you and I know our salvation in the Son of God, if we are really saved by Christ, if we are really rejoicing in our salvation, we ought to come joyfully to the Lord our God, to the rock of our salvation. Oh Lord, you have saved us by your Son. And you have called us to worship you. So we are going to come before your presence with thanksgiving. Oh Lord, we are going to give you praise and thanks for every blessing we got. For our families, for our church, for our life itself, but supremely for Christ, for the salvation you have given us. We are going to sing your praises. We are going to rejoice before you. Are we doing that? Well, perhaps we know we have to do that, but somehow we find it so difficult. My dear friends, this morning, if you and I are not delighting in worship, there's only one reason, ultimately. It is that we have not felt the power and the joy and the glory of salvation. Or we are not feeling deeply that glorious salvation in the Son of God. And there's no remedy for that except we come to know Christ and the glorious salvation he has given us more deeply and fully. I don't think the way to obey this command is that we somehow work up our emotions. We are not joyful. But let us make some great music. Let us clap our hands. Let us jump up and down. Well, if we are filled with that joy in the Lord, it is okay to clap our hands. It is okay to jump up and down. But don't just do that for the sake of creating, manufacturing the emotion for emotion's sake. My friends, we are made for worship. God has made us in his image to know him, to serve him, and to worship him. This morning, if you are a human being, and by the look of it, I think we are all human beings, we are made for the worship of God. You may not be a Christian. You may not believe in Christ, but friends, you too are made in the image of God. You too are made for the worship of God's holy name. We naturally, instinctively would like to worship. Now these days, many people do not believe in the God of the Bible. But you notice many people go to rock concert and they shout and they faint and they scream for the rock star, worshiping that rock star as God. Years ago, when a million of teenagers gathered at Tiananmen Square, Beijing, they fainted, they shouted because they saw Chairman Mao. Chairman Mao was worshipped as God. You know why that sort of thing should happen? Because we are made for worship. We are made to be like that. If you and I do not worship the living and true God, we are going to worship something else and someone else. But under that one point, there's a sub-point. We owe God the worship of his name because he is our creator and maker. He is our creator, king. Verse 5. Why should we shout joyfully to the Lord? Why should we come before him with thanksgiving? Because the Lord, he is the great God. He is the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dried land. My friends, It is not only that we human beings are making God's image to worship Him, but the whole creation, the whole earth, is made by God for His glory, to help us to praise His glorious name. The Lord our God is our King. We owe to Him our worship. We are the King's people, living in the King's land. We are called to serve the King. There's a school in Hong Kong called King's College. It got an interesting history. It was founded many years ago by the British Hong Kong government to be a top school in Hong Kong. In those days, there was Queen's College, founded in the days of Queen Victoria. But the British Hong Kong government founded another school called King's College. And its purpose is to train up the best boys in Hong Kong to serve the British Crown. In that school, now that was many years ago now, not now. In that school, in every classroom, there's a picture of Queen Elizabeth II. You have no misunderstanding. This is the King's College. These boys are to be the King's boys. And those boys were trained to be the leaders of the colony of Hong Kong. And by the way, in those days, at least I don't know about the present situation, the boys there were all very proud to be King's boys. You are somebody if you wear that blazer in Hong Kong. People would look at you and say, "Look at that boy, he's a King's boy." My dear friends, we are the King's boys and girls. We are the King's men and women. We are the King's people. We are the King's children. We owe God of His worship because He's our Creator King. We fail the Lord, our King, if we fail to worship Him as we should. Now, secondly, we owe God the worship of His name because He is our Redeemer Lord. Verses 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. You hear here? The Lord is our God. We are His flock. We are God's sheep. We are the people of His pasture. The Lord is our shepherd. And we are His flock. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. He is the rock of our salvation. So we ought to worship Him, not only because God is our Creator King, but He is also our Redeemer Lord. My dear friends, what is worship? Worship is that we come to the Father through the Son, by the way of His cross. It is only through the Son of God and the redemption He has provided us and the forgiveness of sins in Christ that we can worship God. Every worship that is acceptable to the Lord must be through the Good Shepherd, Christ Himself. Otherwise, you'll be rejected by the Lord our God. My friends, when you come to worship, are you consciously coming in the name of Christ and through Him and that blood bought redemption in Christ? Let me say this again. There's no worship that is acceptable to God except through the Savior, through the cross, through His death, through His redemption. This morning our elder read to us from Hebrews chapter 2. Now, you may like to look at that in the newsletter. It is an amazing passage. Amazing passage. There, the writer of Hebrews is saying in the name of Christ by quoting Psalm 22 and the prophet Isaiah. Now when you go home, read this passage again and ponder upon it. Jesus says here to His Father, "I will declare Your name to My brethren." Of course, the sister are included there. "In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to Your name." Where's the assembly? The assembly is not your private devotion, not your quiet time. The assembly is here. The assembly of God in public worship, the public gathering of God's people. "Father," the Son of God says, "I will declare Your name to My brethren, to My sister, in the midst of the public worship, in the midst of the assembly, in church. I will sing Christ, the Son of God, singing praises to His Father." Isn't it amazing? We sing public worship, but we have a worship leader. You know, these days, you go to many churches, there are worship leaders. Usually, perhaps, nice-looking girls, nicely dressed, leading the singing. Well, let me say this to you. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is our worship leader. In the midst of the church, leading the singing, "I will sing praises to My Father." And then, "Here am I and the children whom God has given Me." Oh friends, what is public worship? Let me say this based on Hebrews chapter 2. Public worship. Church is the Son of God bringing us His children, presenting us to His Father. It is a presentation. The Son of God is saying to His Father, "Father, these are My children. I bought them. I died for them. I rose again for them. I live for them. I went to the world for them. And these are My children. And Father, I present them to You." My dear friends, this is far more exciting than any courtship on earth. This is Christ presenting His children to His Father. And this is what happens in every church service. Oh, you say, "But I don't feel it. We don't feel the joy of it, the privilege of it." Oh, friends, we should go back to Christ. We should go back to the Bible. We should begin to understand what is worship. Let me ask you, do you feel this is a great privilege? I mean the privilege to be gathered together with Christ, to be singing with Jesus. An American theologian who is now with the Lord once said in public worship, Jesus is holding the hymn book for you and leading the singing. Unfortunately, I sing out of tune. I try to improve with some sense of improvement. But I know some of you can sing well. I will feel comfortable if one or two of you should be next to me. You hold the microphone. I whisper at the back. But if we are going to change position, I hold a microphone, I will whisper to the microphone. I don't want to lead you astray. But suppose we have someone like Jason Cockhill here with us this morning. What will happen? I know what will happen. He's going to lead our singing. And we'll get more excited about our singing. Will it not be? Of course we'll be excited. Well, perhaps we should pray for someone like Jason Cockhill to be raised up in our midst to lead our singing. But friends, spiritually, biblically, it is Christ, the Son of God, who is leading our singing. We owe to God the worship of His name because He's our Creator King, and also because He's our Redeemer Lord. And the Son of God is presenting us to His Father in public worship, leading our singing. Now, friends, if that is so, is it too much if I should say to you, value the public worship of God's name? Make it the first priority in your life. And I meant it. And I want to ask you, friends, is public worship the first priority in your life? Or is something else? Is it your work? Your income? Your studies, your leisure, your sports, your family? Is it social activities? Is it Christian activities? Is it Bible study groups? You notice, all those things are actually good. But where do you place the priority of worship in that list? Are you saying family first? Family first, public worship second. Now, friends, if public worship is not the first priority in your life, you need to consider what the Son of God has done to make this possible. We don't need Christ to have a family. Let me say this. Quite candidly, you can have family, nice family, blessed family, without God and His Son. Many people who live in non-Christian cultures, never heard of Christ, have happy, blessed family. But friends, without Christ and His shed blood, we won't be able to have the worship of the Lord. Friends, can I urge you to treasure the public worship of God's name? If we despise the worship of God, God in His judgment will take away the worship from us. And this is happening already for many years right across Australia. The Sunday sports, Sunday barbecue, extra school activities, music lessons, tuition have kept many from the worship of the Lord. Sunday work is becoming increasingly common. My dear friends, some of our church members cannot come to church because they have to work on Sunday. I try my best not to shop on Sunday for only one reason. Not because I'm better than anyone else, but because I've known seekers and believers who have been coming even to our church, but they stopped coming because of Sunday work. I've seen our own church members cannot come to church because they have to work in a restaurant, in grocery shops. Are we to blame them? Are we to condemn them when their whole livelihood depends on that? Blessed are we that we don't have to work on a Sunday. But these dear, our own people, if they don't work on Sunday, they can't survive. Many churches in Australia have already closed down the evening service. For those who still have an evening service, they do so to entertain the youth. The youth love frivolous worship. Give them on a Sunday evening. The oldies won't come. They won't know. They won't see. They won't hear the loud music. That's fine. My dear friends, instead of condemning anyone or judging anyone, can we not see that we have grieved the Holy Spirit? And God is taking away from us the public worship of His name. This is a judgment of God. Some of you older ones, you remember those days when as kids you went to church Sunday morning, Sunday school in the afternoon, Sunday evening for the gospel worship. And you lament and you say, well, all these youngsters, but don't blame them, friends, my older friends. God is saying to us, my people, you don't like my worship. I know you don't take delight in my worship. Therefore, do your own things. You think worship is too much for you? Fine. I don't need your worship. I can go to other lands. You can enjoy your beach and barbecue and sport. You can go for your music lessons. You can aim to get a few more marks for the HSC. That's all fine, and I don't care. Do it as you like. I don't say these things easily, friends. It cost me dearly to say this to you. But I think this is the situation. This is the situation. Now, friends, I hope by now you are convinced that public worship should be the first priority in your life. If so, make yourself available for the public worship of God. Let nothing hinder you. We live in a very busy time. It's not only young people who are busy, not only children who are busy, older people are busy. And there are many demands on our Sundays. Unless you say the public worship of God comes before everything else, you will miss many, many worship services. And let us prepare in advance for the public worship of God's name. Friends, give your very best to the public worship of God. If you find yourself habitually falling into sleep in church, getting weary in church, that your mind wanders, that you are tired and weary, it's time for you to really get a piece of paper and put it down your priorities. It may be time for you to cut back your work, to reduce your income, to aim at lower marks in exams, to reduce family activities, social activities, Christian activities, to reduce Bible studies, youth group, you name it. I say this seriously. All those things are good to some extent. But I remember as a young teenager, I got a good minister. One day, this minister of mine sat me down and said, "Johnny, you must come to the public worship." And I said to him, "Why?" "I've been going to youth group every Saturday afternoon. Isn't that enough?" And he pleaded with me, "Johnny, public worship is different." I went along not because I was convinced, but because I wanted to be a good boy. And our church managed to kick out this pastor in about a year's time. In the Baptist church, it's easy. You just don't renew the contract with the pastor. You go to any meeting, you say to the pastor, "Pastor, well, your year-long contract is up. Bye-bye." We actually sing a song to him, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," when we ask him to go. I remember years ago, my wife and I were in the biggest church in Hong Kong. They got a fine pastor and preacher. We've been there a number of times, but almost every time, this pastor scolded his congregation. He said to them, "You want me to finish the sermon early? You say this is too long. You have booked your table in the restaurant nearby for your yum cha lunch. You don't want to miss your yum cha lunch. I know what you are thinking." But friends, let me close with this. Also years ago, my wife and I went to a number of churches here in Sydney. We noticed one thing. Half an hour before church, there were these few little old ladies. Maybe they were not too little. Sorry for that description. But these older saints, I should say, they wore hats and gloves. Half an hour early to church. And we admire them. It seems they were dressed for the king. They were ready for worship. God help us to worship him. Let's pray. Lord our God, we lament before you that we know so little of the joy in worship. Our worship is a mere duty. We don't know your power or presence. Oh, we don't know this deep rejoicing before the Lord. We don't feel the preciousness of Christ and His blood. Help us, O God. We pray that you may grace us with your presence and bless us as we worship you. May our worship here become a joyful occasion of worship. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.